Welcome to the Men's Lifeline Academy, where we bring on stellar men, men of action, men who went from inaction in life to action, and now they're taking it a step forward and now helping other men. And today, I have Ray Farrell, who is leading men to live excellent lives with a focus on Christ. And today, he's going to tell us a little about himself and his mission. So, Ray, welcome to the podcast, man.
Zach, it's been a long time coming. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, I'm glad to have you on. I know you've taken a big risk and being brave and courageous to come on this podcast and share your story and, you know, just using that to inspire other men. So really, appreciation's all to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you again, Zach. And, you know, being brave and courageous, that's funny that you mentioned that, because whoever knew that would be radical in today's time?
You know, every single time in history, it's always been the brave and the courageous who've withstand the hurdles of life, who've always sought life to be inspired. And that's why we always have historical figures that we can always look up to, who went through challenges, who went through things that honestly seem, you know, unimaginable, right? Sometimes people have gone to prison for their beliefs and to do good and to do well. Some people have even lost their lives.
Absolutely.
So it's always important to, so I love history. So I think it's always important to always learn from history, so that way we don't repeat it. And I always say the reason why history repeats itself is because we fail to learn its lesson.
Yes, we do. It's very critical. And even you see it all the way to the beginning of creation throughout the Old and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And that's how extremely important it is to learn up on history.
That's right. So Ray, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. So my name's Ray Farrell. I am 36 years old. I live in a small town in eastern North Carolina with a wife and three beautiful children, a son, a daughter, and another son. And I've had a mission and a calling to start men's ministry here locally, but I also do it online as well. I connect with other men on X, as you can see at my account link below. Just follow me at that account. And we just, you know, really for me is connecting men where they're at and helping them to fulfill their God-given roles as husbands, fathers, and leaders in our places of influence.
So where did that start from? Like, where did it begin, that fire, that passion to bring men together, to focus on men?
So back in 2015, 2016, well, I'll back it up just a little bit. So wasn't raised in a Christian home. I went to Liberty University for 2 years. And in 2007, I was saved the first week that I was there. So spent that time just going through, you know, life. It was exciting, but then started going life through the motions. Then about probably 2016, 2017, I was living in Richmond, Virginia at the time, and attended a Iron Sharpens Iron conference that was put on an organization called Noble Warriors. And from there, I got so much out of that conference that God just began working in my heart about the need to start, you know, connecting with other men and men's ministry. So, but obviously, you know, God had a little bit more work, and he still does, is working in my life. And when I came back to North Carolina about a couple of years ago, approached our senior pastor and said, "Hey, we need a men's ministry." And it's like, you know, you get the keys to the vehicle. It's like, yep, here you go. So we'll dive a little bit more into it. I'll just be glad to share a little bit more of that story and how that's come along. But it's just the response that we've gotten has just been extremely overwhelming.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely want to hear back about that, so we can kind of go to more of like, who's Ray, like, you know, kind of what was your upbringing about, what kind of led you to fully commit in that 2015-2016 kind of time frame?
Yeah, so grew up in single parent. My dad was an alcoholic, and grew up there through life, and just didn't grow up in a Christian home, didn't grow up what that meaning of Christ was. Got exposed to Liberty University through all of their marketing, like they send you so many postcards and things like that. So I decided I needed a new change when I was in high school. And so that at that point, that was when I went to Liberty,
Got
accepted
it.
Christ as my Savior, and have a lot of great friends, still keep in touch with many of them today. You may see me on the platform connecting with many people that I've known throughout my time at Liberty. But just during that process from like that 2007 to 2015, you know how God works in our hearts, right? Through the process of sanctification, I read just was immensely in God's word. Of course, it wasn't a perfect journey. Still a lot, it was a lot of learning to do. Still learning a lot today. And leading up to, I was living in my home, moved back to my hometown back in 2015, 16, which is Richmond, Virginia. And, you know, I was involved in a church there, got told about this Iron Sharpens Iron conference, went, was just blown away by the speakers. And just, I don't know if I was just really engaged that day or not, but my heart was just on fire
Oh,
afterwards.
awesome. And what a great verse. Iron sharpens iron. We know it takes a team. We know it takes each other to make each other better because with surely iron does sharpen iron. You got to use iron with iron. You got to have
Yes.
all the materials used together.
Yes, and you bring up a good point about iron sharpening iron. That's an aspect I think that's missing so much in ministry. But not only that, just general, men live in isolation today. It is it whether it's like it's because it's shame or it's guilt. It's we also have all of these variables that don't really help things, like the busyness of life, our obsession with the culture trying to pull us away from where we need to be. And so that's something that I try to help meet guys where they're at and just help them in along this way, because we're not meant to walk this journey alone. Men's Alliance Tribe, which I'll talk a little bit more about how our churches implemented that. One of their slogans is this, isolation is terminal. And it really is true. When we live in isolation, that's where things usually are not good.
And I think that's such a good phrase. Something short, sweet, and simple. Isolation is terminal.
Absolutely.
So I think it's always good to have a phrase or a statement that's kind of short because it gets at the heart of the problem. That's why I'm glad that your church and your mission on X is to bring people together to help men live that excellent life with Christ at the center. So people have a focus, a focal point, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you see on my page, that's where I'm, you know, my logo, that's my brand, which is Wholeness in Christ, talks about, you've noticed there's a weight, there's a barbell there with weights, there's a Bible, there's a brain, and there's this rule setting and this property. All of that is meant to bring, you know, all of those things are great. But the most important thing is our relationship with Christ. Christ allows us to be stewards of those resources that he gives us, which is being able to have, you know, the ability to exercise, the ability for you and I to sit here and speak on this podcast, and many other things.
Yeah, so what led up to you going to your pastor and say, hey, we need a men's community group? Like, what were you noticing like in the church that was like just missing? 'Cause I know you said men live in isolation. So what was that, like the heart of the nature that really helped push you to, 'cause that's not always easy going to a pastor or a religious leader, what have you, but like, hey, I have an idea.
Funny that you bring up that story, because I was just reflecting on that this morning during my quiet time of how we really got to this point. So to paint a picture of how we got there, we originally got married at this church that we're at now, and we moved away. But during that time, you kept in touch with the pastor and noticed that the church was really going through some trials. There was a lot of sin going on in the church, particularly with men. And one of the patterns that I really noticed is you would have a couple of fellowship breakfast here and there, and you have a Wednesday night men's Bible study there, but nothing like core to the point saying we have this for you as men, and something with a unified mission and a vision. behind the church vision and the values. And so I took my pastor and I, we went out to lunch, and I just approached him and said, "This is my vision." We talked about some of that stuff, but I was like, "This really, some of this could have really been avoided had we really had men walking alongside each other, holding each other accountable, and being in the Word as the first priority." So I laid out my mission and my values for what I wanted to do with the men's ministry. And he said, "Okay, here you go." This was back in March of last year. And so in April, we put together the first fellowship breakfast. And we had 60 guys that showed up. About 20 to 25% of those men were not from our church. So I was like, "Okay, we have something here. Let's do another one and let's see, do we have a sharp drop off? Is this just a one-time thing?" So fast forward, we've had three men's breakfasts, all with about 50, 60 guys showing up.
That's a
So
good
after, so,
number.
so after, so after it, it, it was, it, I was blown away by it. I was like, and this is, keep in mind, this is a church of about 250 people on average that show up. So that's what's, that what really was blowing my mind. So I ended up just putting together a plan. My pastor was like, "Well, you've got something here. Let's take advantage of that." So I put together a document for our church that laid out the mission of our men of our men's ministry and the values of that. And I was like, "Well, I've prayed about this, but I think I need some other men in my corner." So a lot of some of these guys I knew back from when we were attending that church, 12, 13 years ago, and approached some of those guys. They were also deacons of our church, and they were interested in coming on. So we had a, when this was all said and done, we had a vision and a mission, five guys that were committed, as our men's ministry committee, and they represented all walks of life. So from like the 18 to the seniors. And they were also gifted, and they're also gifted in other areas as well, such as communication, such as technology, marketing, being able to put those things together. And we decided for 2025 that we would focus on four focus areas, which is prayer. So we have a prayer group that's coming together. That's going to start next year. Going to start meeting in the mornings on a Friday to pray for the men and the needs of our church. The second is Bible study groups. So we already have one that's kind of, that's a pilot that is launched, which is called Men's Alliance Tribe, and it's a combination of a workout around the fire and a devotion. So 30 minutes each. And it gets guys, the workout part gets guys challenged. It gets guys, building that camaraderie and brotherhood. And then we come around the fire and we talk about God's word, and then we encourage each other and we hold each other accountable. So if you're ever interested in starting something like that, mensalliancetribe.com is the perfect place to go find out more about this and get one started in your area. And another, a couple of other areas that we have as well. So we're going to have service projects where we not only do service projects in our church, but we provide outreach in our community. And then the fourth one, our fellowship breakfast, our different events. We'll have like probably a bonfire one night. Coming up sometime next year. We're still in the process of planning some of these events, but the fellowship aspect as well. So we have our men's ministry with Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. So iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another, which is our theme verse. And then we have four areas that we are going to focus on for 2025. And each guy in our men's ministry council or committee has a focus area that they work on.
So you're really tackling truly the whole mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
So it's a very, the body, it's very working out, spirit with that devotion, that worship, and that spirit of doing well and helping other people, especially the service projects going beyond the church, especially the smaller church going out and beyond it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to provide outreach to our community, and we have to fulfill the Great Commission. Our service projects help us fulfill the Great Commission. And it also, in the rest of our areas, as you said, fill mind, body, and spirit, which goes back to wholeness in Christ. Mm-hmm. So the things that I'm doing on X and the things that I'm talking about, it's not only just, I'm just talking about it online. It's we're actually building this locally. And my hope is just to help others build something like this locally as well.
So are there any differentials between, let's say, a regular Bible study, like that's, let's say, more focused on men, and the studies, that the devotions that you lead? Because I know you said you wanted to dive a little bit more deeper for men than what maybe a Bible study might be able to do. So what is that kind of deeper level, if you will?
That deeper level, and we're still in the process of working this out, but it's going to be discipleship, or sometimes churches call those D groups. So we would have like either three or four guys like meeting, or you could provide some one-on-one or one-to-two mentorship and accountability. Okay. We're still working through some of the details, but that's what we're hoping to offer out of that, because especially men that don't really feel comfortable in those larger settings and saying, hey, sure, I struggle with a pornography issue. They need to be able to come into an environment where they can talk one-on-one with someone and have someone hold them accountable in that area.
Oh, sure. Especially something as personal and private as sharing a personal addiction or going through treatment or going through something like that, where you maybe don't want to broadcast it to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, it's always incredible with all the different groups that people are so creative in how they can develop it, and how people just sometimes come whenever there's like a true mission, people just gravitate together. Like you were just saying, you have a marketing guy, a technology guy, which I know you're into technology, and how just like everyone just comes together, especially, and it shows the hunger that people need for a community, for 50 to 60 people to come together on a breakfast. And whether it's because they need food, spiritual growth, whatever, it's really cool to see how much you can really recognize it as a need, especially when it becomes a trend. 50 here, 50, 60 at the next spot, especially when a lot of people aren't even from your church and the word just got out. Like, hey, there's this breakfast community. Come on out.
Yeah. I mean, it's the community aspect, right? And for us, it's being able to say, okay, yeah, we've come here for fellowship, but it's more than that. We've seen some guys being able to start really developing some connections based on just something as simple as a fellowship breakfast. But the key to that is being able to follow up with that and say, okay, it's not just our fellowship breakfast, it's more to this. And I think a lot of men are striving for just something more than just like your casual fellowship breakfast. So we provide opportunities for those men to be able to do that.
Yeah. And what kind of service outreach have you done like outside of the church? Since I know that's also your focus of the Great Commission, of not just staying in the church, but actually being doers and going out and doing good.
So some of the aspects of what we've done in the past, not directly in our men's ministry, was a number of years ago. My wife and I did like a swimming thing where we taught, some of the underprivileged kids in our area how to swim. So my wife was a certified lifeguard back in high school. And so we taught how to do all of, my wife did some of that, and then I helped as well, but teaching them how the basics of swimming. May bring something like that back with our men's ministry, may bring like constructing ramps for our senior citizens and our handicapped, going out into our neighborhoods and evangelizing is another thing that we think is going to be a good idea, promotes fulfilling the Great Commission. And just being out, we've got some other ideas that we're in the works of, but anything that's related to service, like helping landscape the church grounds, put the stripes down in the parking lot, helping clean up the church or set up numerous things, that's what our team is there, would be there to do.
Awesome. So how's your journey at Next Bend? Kind of since it's still with your mission too of the wholeness and all the communities and everything, how's your journey on Next Bend?
It's been great. We're thankful to people like that have purchased that platform. Elon's been huge instrumental in that. But the biggest thing has been is just being able to connect with guys. They're all across the world on there. And that's really been the big thing, is just connecting with them and meeting them where they're at and saying there is a life that is outside of being consumed by sports and politics and the world. And so like, yeah, you can, yes, exercise is in the Bible. It's taking care of your body. Our bodies are temples. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Gaining that wisdom, being able to be successful in our jobs and our families and being fathers. All of that is in the Bible, so I try to point people to where that is, and I've been able to make some really good connections based on there.
Good. And that's what's nice. That's what's really nice is that when someone has that mission, and yeah, how the algorithm works, it brings all those guys together. You see someone working out, then all of a sudden you see five other guys working out and doing incredible things. And I mean, that's how we're able to connect. And because I always say, if there was no X, there was no social media, I would have never have met you.
That's right, man. We would
I
just
can't even
been.
imagine that. I mean, a world without Ray and all the value you bring on X and just the words of wisdom, the encouragement, trying to really help people who are struggling. And especially when you promote your church, your groups, and everything about how much it's been a benefit to you.
It absolutely has. And just being able to, you say, we would have never been able to connect if it wasn't for that. And being able to have those connections that you wouldn't get in an area like this is big.
Yeah. So it's amazing just the power of social media and when people are posting for a purpose and a cause and a belief. As we like to say, the why, and really focus on Simon Sinek, who has that. People need, they buy into why you do something, not necessarily what you do or how you do it.
Yeah, you zero in on a good part, which is the why. All of us have a why of doing something. We have a purpose behind that. For me, that purpose is bringing men, into a relationship with Christ and helping them to be the better husbands, fathers, and leaders that we need to be. And you could do that by succeeding in all of those areas, because all of those areas point back to the Bible.
Yeah, so how do you kind of set up that space for a man who to feel even comfortable sharing all that stuff or learning about stuff, especially since there's at times a lot of, well, how do I know this is true? There's a lot of different thoughts. There's a lot of different beliefs out there. How do I know that this is the right path to follow or the correct path?
Well, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for me." We have, and we talk about if you read Lee Strobel's The Case of Christ, there's thousands of eyewitness accounts of the key part of this, of Christianity, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that, it just would have been like every other religion. That's why the virgin birth was key. That's why the resurrection was key. And if you think about the Bible, It is an account of all of those eyewitness events that took place from the point of creation up until, Revelation. It also is what has occurred in the past, but it also what is going to be what's going to occur in the future if you read the book of Revelation. I
I'm
always
sure.
tell guys when they're starting on their journeys with Christ to start with the Gospel of John. It's the best book that paints that foundation of how we are where we are. But there's also living that out. There's the authentic aspect. No one is going to be perfect and completely live up to that stand, the perfect standard. So that's why Christ came and died on the cross so that we could experience that forgiveness and have that relationship. Because we can do everything, we can read the best books, we can be jacked, we can do all of that stuff. But if we haven't repented of our sins, we haven't trusted Christ as our Savior, that means absolutely nothing. How we experience if that's real is by how we live our lives.
And then how do the men like respond to that when they see that you're living the life to the best of your ability? So what has been the response to that? Because a lot of times people may have a different response, as let's say most people think of a Bible thumper, right? It's that self-righteous know-it-all, they have never sinned and all you need is Jesus type of personality.
Well, first off, you've got to be real. Yes, I'm not quote unquote a Bible thumper, but you have to show that you live life just like you go through the same struggles like everybody else does. That's where that authenticity aspect of that comes into play. It's like some of those issues like what is it? Sometimes anger, right?
That's
Anger's been a
one.
big one of mine in the past. And like, hey, I've struggled with that as well. Like, being able to identify and say, yeah, I've been there. I still sometimes struggling with that. And the big key of that is authenticity and being able to apply what you've learned and helping others, get through their struggles.
So how does someone kind of respond to you when you say, yeah, I've struggled with anger in the past, and here are the steps that helped me? Like, what has the response been of them trying?
You get a lot more like encouragement and responses out of that, and people will, ask you about your faith, and that's how you're able to tie that in. Once you're able to see that tangible aspect, people are able to see that tangible and that authenticity aspect, then people, you're much likely going to get a different response and say, you're angry all the time, and rather than just, a classic. You sometimes you see the guy on the street, holding up the big signs about, going to hell and all of that stuff. Well, yeah, I don't need to be told that. Okay, that's how do I, where's that authenticity aspect? It's like, okay, if you're just going to tell somebody they're going straight to hell, well, I'll just live my life how I want to anyway.
Was going to say fear is a highly level of manipulation at times to get people to believe in one side. It's like one of the best selling points. And we see that all the time, that there's always a form of fear.
Absolutely, there's a form of fear. Go look on the news and you think the world is absolutely falling apart.
Yeah, you go outside your door and it's like, oh, it's kind of quiet today.
It is. And I mean, sometimes you have to be careful on social media because you have that aspect of, okay, the world, it could be the same thing happening. There's some stuff that's untrue out there. It's like, then you just step into other areas. It's like, oh, it's quiet today.
Well, especially when they say X is becoming the number one news source for media. So when you have that message portrayed, that's why you always have to be wise and be aware and research a lot of different ways and a lot of different viewpoints to really sometimes get to the truth.
That, and you bring up a good point. Researching, it helps develop your critical thinking as well. Sometimes you're going to be on there and there's going to be people that are going to disagree with what you say. So, and being able to critically think through that stuff is also very important.
And as we begin to wrap up a little bit, I just want to thank your time for coming here at, 6 a.m. in the morning on a Saturday. Is what would you like to give a word of advice to a man who's in your, who's struggling, who was in your shoes at one point, and that you just want to be this light? And what would you kind of tell that man today?
What I would tell them today is do not walk through this life alone. Find someone at your church, whether that's talking to a pastor, or if you're not involved in church, confide in a best friend, confide in another man that kind of what your issues are and what you're struggling with. And because I think, as we said earlier in the podcast, isolation is terminal.
Right.
And having that connection, being able to hold each other accountable, is also going to be, that's extremely important. So that's why I would tell men who have struggled in the places that I've been in, go get some accountability, find someone that you can help confide in. All of us have things that we are not proud that we've done, and being able to bring stuff like that, to tell other men about them, to help hold you accountable, is definitely a must for any man.
Well said. Isolation is terminal. You heard from Ray himself. And this podcast, we always want to serve people who come on, all the men that have come on. So go follow Ray and on his socials, all the socials he mentioned, his ex, his website, everything will be in the description below. So reach out to him if you want to learn and have more community and fellowship. He'll help lead you to be a man of excellence. And if you're searching for a group, follow the Men's Lifeline Academy, where we're scholars of life, where we really want to help men live the best lives possible and a life worth living through action. And if you're a man seeking some help, we have the Men's Lifeline Academy Discord group. It's a subscription for $15 per month. And this is a group that helps bring men together. So that way we reduce that level of isolation, as Ray perfectly have said today. Reduce that level of isolation so that way you don't go through a terminal life. I hope you have a blessed day, everyone. And this has been the Men's Lifeline Academy podcast.